1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Psalm 36:9. For you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36:9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36:9. Psalm 139:12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139:12. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139:12. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 5:12-13, as our children stand and go to their class. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We appreciate the fact that you're here today to study God's Word. God has given to us many wonderful blessings in life. One of those great blessings as a born-again believer is to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. And that's our reason and purpose for being here again today. In our study through the book of Ephesians, we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 in our services today. We realize that we cannot study God's Word properly if we're not in right relationship with Jesus Christ. That's very, very important. It's essential. It's absolutely necessary for us to know that we're in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we spend a few moments in silent prayer before we begin our study today. So may we bow for a moment of prayer together, please. Father, we realize again how wonderful it is for us to be one of your children, saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance that one of these days, life will come to a close for us here. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be absent from this body, but we'll be at home with our Savior, Jesus Christ. You've placed us in this life, and we're on a magnificent journey now. We pray that while we're making this journey, we will realize that there are some things we need to be able to see as we travel God's magnificent highway. We realize that from the time we're born into your kingdom until the time you call us home, that simply means that you've given us some time on the earth to advance spiritually. And so we're thankful today that you've made it possible for us to travel this wonderful, magnificent highway of grace. So help us to be sure that we are living each day and taking with us our spiritual mountain gear, that we will be properly prepared for the travel as we daily take this journey. We realize today again how great and wonderful it is to be a member of your family. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the past weeks, we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn again to this magnificent book. We're going to look at several verses before we get down to our verses for today, which will be verses 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning, please, with verse 1. This is a magnificent passage indeed. We've analyzed these verses. We've looked at them time and time again. We'll read them through immediately. Verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous individual who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you, verse 6, with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 8, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful, verse 12, even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In your bulletin today, you have an insert with the scripture, and you also have an insert with a diagram. This diagram was developed by our first secretary of Grace Bible Church a number of years ago. We're going to be analyzing this today, and I trust that you will take a look at the insert that you have in your bulletin. Verses 12 and 13 you will see as presented for you. Verse 12, for hidden things, it is a shame even of those things to speak, which are done of them in secret. What we've discovered over the years is that the translation from the original language is not always a very smooth presentation. That's the reason why you have some words here that seem to be out of place, but really not out of place when you take a look at the sentence in its entirety. Ephesians 5:12 says, for hidden things it is a shame, even of those to speak which are done of them in secret. Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. All things that are approved are made manifest by the light. On the screen now, we're going to see for just a few moments an exegetical study of verses 12 and 13. We're not going to spend a lot of time here because I want to take you to this insert and for us to analyze it together. If you'll look, please, at what we have on the screen for you in Ephesians 5:12, we have an emphasis here upon some specific words. The first word that is used here is what is known as a postpositive conjunctive particle. It is the little word gar. We'll not spend a lot of time there. Then we have the word hidden, for hidden things. And then it says, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. What we have here is an emphasis upon the fact that you and I, whatever our age is at this particular moment, we are at the beginning stages of our spiritual journey. God has allowed us to be here this morning for the purpose of being presented to us the fact that we're traveling on a journey of life, and this is a journey that has been given to us by our Heavenly Father that is called by us the Travels to Echo Mountain. You will notice the diagram that we have here. You will see that there is an emphasis upon the responsibility that we have of having what we're calling our mountain gear. In other words, to be properly prepared for the travel, we have to have what is known as the mountain gear, the things that are necessary for us to have as we travel this journey up the mountain peak to the Echo Mountain peak. We have what we call the Echo Journey. We have the emphasis upon the mountain gear, emphasized by the letters there, you will see S-F-R-I-S, which symbolizes spiritual food residing in the soul. So if you don't already have that down, please write that out by the side of that particular expression on your diagram. So we have spiritual food residing in the soul. I'm sure that you don't look like this individual that is printed here. So I just want you not to be insulted by the fact that we have a diagram and we have an individual. If you'll notice this individual, the individual is moving up to the road, up to the Grace Abounding Life, traveling by the side of Echo Mountain, up to what would be eventually receiving Heaven's Grace Blessings, in case you want to write definitions for the letters we've presented for you. What I want you to see here is that there is a head on this individual, and you will notice that there is a body of this individual. And notice what the body is made of. It's made of O-S-N, old sinful nature. If you were here last Wednesday night, you got information. If you've been listening over the last 40-some-odd years, you've received information on the subject of the old sinful nature. We're not going to reemphasize and recapitulate all that information that we've given in the past on the subject of the old sinful nature. I would encourage you, however, if you need it, to get on the internet and go to the topics that are presented there, and you will find one of those topics being the old sinful nature. All of us are aware of the fact that we have a sinful nature. There's no doubt about that. Each individual here today is aware of the fact that we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. It means that we came on the scene physically alive, but spiritually dead. We have a sinful nature, and our sinful nature bugs us every single day. We've emphasized the fact that we have volition, choice, decision, and we have a decision to make moment by moment, day by day, whether or not we're going to be under the control of our sinful nature or under the control of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We've analyzed in the past days that temptation itself is not the sin, but we are facing temptation over and over again, every single day, thousands of times. And what is presented to us is that God has given to us a guard to the soul. The guard to the soul is volition, or choice, or decision. And so when temptation comes our way, whatever the temptation is, we have a decision to make. We either say yes or we say no to that temptation. If we say no to that temptation, we're pushing that temptation aside. We continue our journey under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and we're traveling rapidly up the mountain peak, to the mountain peak of the echo zone, which simply means that we are receiving the mountain gear for our individual lives. We have the responsibility of traveling rapidly, or we can choose to travel more slowly. God's plan is for you and me to travel rapidly up the mountainside to the mountain peak of the echo zone so that we can be the recipients of heaven's grace blessings. What I want you to do as you take a look at this diagram is to be aware of the fact that this individual is aware and he's looking up, if you can see and notice. He has to realize, she has to realize that we have a decision to make on a moment-by-moment basis of whether or not we're going to be under the control of the sinful nature or under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Over the past weeks, we've analyzed many, many times, and I repeat just briefly, that if we choose to be a recipient of the temptation coming our way, and we say yes to that temptation, we're moved outside of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're under then the control of our sinful nature. We are aware of the fact that being under the control of our sinful nature, we're either doing one of two things. We're grieving the Holy Spirit, or we're quenching the Holy Spirit. And I trust by now you've heard this enough that you understand the difference between grieving the Holy Spirit on the one hand and quenching the Holy Spirit on the other hand. Just briefly, let me quickly tell you that grieving the Holy Spirit simply means that we're making decisions to be under the control of our sinful nature. And that means that we are not fulfilling God's plan of being under the control of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. That simply means that when we're outside of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do something about it. We can admit our faults and failures and sins, and we can be restored to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You remember last Sunday when we heard the message on 1 John 1:9. Most of us now have memorized that verse, and we're aware of the fact that the Scripture says there that if we admit our faults and failures and sins, that God is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is so interesting is that when you go to the first chapter of 1 John, where you find 1 John 1:9, you will discover that all through that chapter, every little if that is used there is what is known as a third-class conditional clause that is translated if maybe so or maybe no. That third emphasis of the third-class conditional clause in 1 John 1:9 says, if we choose to admit our faults, our failures, our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. The third-class conditional clause says, maybe we will do it, or maybe we will not do it. If we do it, it means that we're saying no to the control of the sinful nature, and we're staying in harmony and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit is something different. Quenching the Holy Spirit is an individual who chooses to remain out of harmony, out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust by now that the quick definitions that I'm giving you will be helping you to understand that you and I must first of all realize that we're traveling this magnificent highway of God's grace, and God desires that we have fellowship with Him moment by moment and stay in harmony and a right relationship with Him. One of the things that's dawned on me, and I want to share with you, it's rather startling because of my age, and so I want to say it in such a way that it could be startling to you, whatever age you are at this particular moment. I believe that in the eternal ages past, when God looked down through the ages of time and saw you and saw your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe that in the eternal ages past, He designed you just as He designed me. And He's given us the amount of years that are necessary if we take advantage of what He's providing for us so that we can reach the mountain peak of the echo zone. I pause now to let you think about what I've just said. Because if you don't think about it, you're going to miss it. Whatever your age is right now, you and I need to realize, whatever age I am right now, that the period of time that He's allowed you and me, and the period of time that He will allow us on this earth before He takes us home, He's given us, I believe, and is giving us ample time for us to reach the peak, the mountain peak of the echo zone, if we make decisions that are in keeping with His plan for our individual lives. You notice how I slowed my conversation down there? Because I wanted you to see that you and I have decisions to make on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. Just think about your age now. I think about my age now. And I think about the number of years that God has allowed me to be in the ministry. It's amazing to me to be able to see this. And to see how blessed I have been over these 70 years with the responsibility of studying and teaching the Word of God, I'm thankful for that. I have no idea how many more years, but I tell you one thing for sure. However long He allows you and me, He has it designed for us so that while we're here, He's allowing us the amount of time that we need to reach the mountain peak of the echo zone. So we have the responsibility of putting on the mountain gear. Are you following what I'm saying? Now look at this diagram for a few moments, and I want you to see something. It takes a little while to analyze the diagram. I think the secretary did it very well many years ago when she developed this diagram, calling it the echo.
She did it for children.
Bless your hearts, children. We're glad you're here, children, that you're getting this today. She did this for children. But you know what I believe? What we can learn as children, we can learn as adults. Echo Mountain. Now you can look up at the top and you will see that there is suffering and testing and pressure and all of those things. I'm sure that all of us realize that we have faced in life testing and pressures, difficulties, all of these various things. There's no doubt about that. But if you look down toward the bottom of the diagram, you will see some roads that slant downward. If you're not analyzing this with me, you may miss it, but I want you to be able to see it. If you'll see the downward journey before the cross, are you following me? You're seeing what I'm pointing out there? The journey before the cross. You notice those X's. And that simply means this individual has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. This person has not been born into God's kingdom. This person, born physically alive, spiritually dead, has remained that way and has not chosen to make the most important decision in life, to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And chooses to live his entire life, her entire life, and to leave this life without Jesus Christ as Savior. You follow those X's and you follow that road that leads all the way down. And notice, if you will, please, lake of fire, eternal destruction, eternity without God, without hope, eternal, eternally lost. If you see this diagram and you go home today and take this with you, leave it in your Bible, refer to it often, I believe you will constantly be shocked by just picking this up and looking at it and see what takes place in the life of an individual who doesn't accept the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. How tragic, how sad that situation is. I'm letting you think with me today. I want you to really think with me today about how terrible it is to leave this life and not having accepted the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Do we have friends? Do we have loved ones? Do we have anyone in our own home that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? This should be startling to us. This should be pungent, powerful in our lives to realize that these individuals are only one breath, one heartbeat away from eternal destruction. Let's move beyond the cross now and see that this person has accepted Jesus Christ. This person, just like you and me, has an old sinful nature. We face the temptations of the old sinful nature on every single day. We can choose to make our way up to the mountain peak, to the echo zone, traveling the grace abounding life highway. You'll notice the G-A-L there, the grace abounding life highway. But notice along the way, those roads that also go downward. This simply means that you and I must be able to see this. And that is that a person, as you and me are traveling this road, we can choose to be out of harmony, out of fellowship, and move on a downward road, a disobedient road. What happens to an individual who's traveling God's highway and then chooses to be disobedient and continues to be disobedient? As already has been mentioned here today, there's the grieving of the Holy Spirit. But if a person chooses to continue that pathway, they're quenching the Holy Spirit, which simply means that they're living a continuous life outside of harmony, outside of relationship. It's a proper relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to go slowly enough for you to be able to see that there are various spots along the journey where an individual can choose to drop by the wayside. Notice, if you will, that this individual shows us that you can move along as a believer and get past adolescent stage of Christian growth, get on past the youth stage of Christian advance, even move on up to what we classify as an adult stage of spiritual advance, and still drop by the wayside, get out of harmony, out of proper relationship to Jesus Christ. And in doing so, can do what we describe here with the letters S-U-D. I stop for a moment and let you think for a moment with me. Do any of you think you understand what the letters S-U-D stand for? If you do, that's fine. If you don't, You need to listen very carefully. SUD stands for the sin unto death. The sin unto death. It's amazing to me when I study how much information I like to give you. I'm aware of the fact that you and I must understand that while we're alive, God has given us a number of years. I don't know how many years He's giving you. You may leave this life. The rapture may occur. You may die young. You may die in middle age. You may die living as long as I've already lived. But one of these days, you're going to die. I'm dealing today with two subjects. One is apostasy, the other is the sin of death. If you want to take some notes, let's do it quickly. Sin unto death. What do we mean when we say sin unto death? I abbreviated this so that you could get it down. The sin unto death means deliberate, willful, continuous, unrepentant sin. I could go into a long discussion here, but I'm trying to make it simple. I would like to encourage you to write this down. What is the sin unto death? I could give you the verses of Scripture, but I just want to present to you a simple definition. Deliberate, willful, continuous, unrepentant sin. A person who chooses when temptation comes to accept the temptations rather than saying no to the temptation. This eventually will lead to the sin unto death. Sin unto death means deliberate, willful, continuous, unrepentant sin. The phrase sin unto death describes the final stage of divine discipline in which God removes from the earth the person who is and has been alienated from God over a period of years. I'm giving you time to take this down. The sin of death is deliberate, willful, continuous, unrepentant sin. The phrase sin of death describes the final stage of divine discipline in which God removes from the earth the person who is totally alienated from God. I hesitate to give any illustrations. Being in the ministry for as many years as I've been, I'll have to tell you that there have been some experiences in my life that have been extremely startling. And I have no way of knowing, and I cannot draw conclusions. All I can do is be aware of what I see and what I experience. Through the years, I have been with individuals in the closing moments of their lives. For many people, it has been joyous and pleasant and wonderful. Sad? Sure. Weeping? Normal. Heartbroken? Yes. Over these years, I've been with individuals and I've viewed all these different types of reactions when people have been standing by or sitting by their loved ones when their loved ones breathe their last breath on this earth. It has been such a tremendous blessing to me over these years to see God's grace and God's power and God's comfort manifested in the lives of individuals. Were they sad? Certainly. Were they heartbroken? Certainly. Did they cry? Sure, I did too. But I want you to know that there was a response that was wonderful and beautiful and magnificent and glorious. And I could see such tremendous faith and such tremendous confidence and trust in the lives of the individuals. I sense that you're waiting. I'm always amazed at the fact when I can tell people are listening and waiting. You're waiting for me to say the next thing. Out of all these many years in the ministry and being by the side of a number of people who breathed their last breath and entered into that glorious, magnificent home of eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only been one person in my life where I have been in a stage of wonderment. I'm not going to go into any discussion. I'm not going to go into any detailed presentation. All I'm doing is to remind myself to tell you that it is magnificent and wonderful for a person to have the assurance when their loved one passes away to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. But if that's not the case, there is an emptiness. There's a vacancy. There's a void. There's something that's going on there that is absolutely hard to explain. The sin of death, deliberate, willful, continuous, unrepentant sin. The phrase sin unto death describes the final stage of divine discipline in which God removes from the earth the person who is totally alienated from God. Number two, you ought to write this one. The sin unto death is not a particular sin, but is rather a mental attitude of total indifference to and rebellion against the will and purpose of God. It's powerful to be able to see that statement. I want you to see it. The sin of death is not a particular sin, but it is rather a mental attitude of total indifference and rebellion against the will and purpose of God. Our Lord said, "It is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He died for everyone. That's the reason why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Number three, the spiritual condition of the person who comes under the sentence of death is characterized by continual and maximum carnality. Number four, the punishment represents God's final step of chastisement to those who are in maximum alienation from God. Maximum alienation from God. Whew. Number five. Only God can discern the true motive of a person. Only God can discern the true nature of a person's mind, attitude, or volition. Number six. Only God knows whether a person is actually deserving of this kind of the sin of death. You may be interested in writing these verses down. The sin of the death is described in the following verses. 1 John 5:16. Psalm 118, 17 and 18. You ought to write these. Ezekiel 18, 21 to 32. Number 8. It is important for the Christian to understand the circumstances under which sins are not unto death. Confess sin is not unto death. 1 John 1:9. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Psalm 32:5. Psalm 38. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's important for us as believers to understand which sins are not unto death. Confess sin is not unto death. I gave you 1 John 1:9 at the beginning. Number 2. Discontinued sin is not unto death. Discontinued sin is not unto death. Hebrews 12:1. Ezekiel 18:21 to 32. Which means, number 3, that responding positively to divine discipline is not involved in the sin of the death. Have I told you lately? I need to. That you and I as believers, if we find ourselves in disobedience, God has a way of spanking us. I use the word spanking or the word discipline. There are 3 different types of discipline described in the scripture. One of those is simply a simple spanking. Another is that it becomes more intense. And the third one is if a person continues to say no to the discipline, it leads to the sin unto death. Persistent, unconfessed sin, which continues unchecked with no repentance. In other words, the person who persistently ignores grace, warnings of grace, even ignores the discipline of grace, this sin has maximum adverse effect even on other individuals. There are case histories of the sin of death. I don't have time to discuss these, but let me give you some references. One of those is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. That's as far as I need to go now. There's so much more. We'll come back to this subject at the second service. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we are aware of the fact that this is a startling message for all of us. Help us to be able to see that we have a responsibility as we travel this magnificent journey up to the mountain peak of the Echo Zone. That along the way we must realize that the old sinful nature is extremely powerful, and we're to continually say no, no, no to the temptations of the old sinful nature. If we say yes, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If we continue to say yes, we quench the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand this and see it clearly. Help us to know that along life's way, there will be testing, there will be various problems and difficulties and burdens along journey. But we realize that one of these days, we know that however long you allow us to live on the earth, you are going to give us ample time to reach the mountain peak of the Echo Zone. As we come to the close of this service now, we would pray for those who hear this message who never accepted Jesus Christ, that they will understand clearly
that when God loved, he loved the world. And that when Christ died, he died for everyone. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will trust you now. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.